February 18, 2026. Technically, this is our first official meeting because the board adopted our official coalition at the meeting last week. At this time, we're going to open with the Pledge of Allegiance and please join me in pledging allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this time, Makana, Nova, would you please call the roll?
Yes, thank you, Chair Foley. So, Chair Foley, first, President. Member Nathan Banda, that's it. Member Jason Lee.
Present.
Member Justin Gulliver.
Present.
Member Andy Hall.
Present.
And Member Donald Russell.
Here.
Let the record show we have 5 of 6 members present and 1 absent.
Okay, so do you want to read this section?
Sure, yes. Okay. We have a forum and I'd like to announce some housekeeping items before we get started today. The room is microphone for recording of this meeting, so please keep side conversations to a minimum as they can be picked up by the recording. Please put all cell phones to mute or vibrate for the duration of the meeting. The agenda contains a brief general description of each item to be considered. Except as otherwise provided by law, no action shall be taken on any item not appearing on today's agenda. Any member of the public who wishes to speak on any item on the agenda or during public comments during today's meeting may do so. Please complete a speaker slip that's here at the front and submit to me as executive officer before the reading of the agenda item or before the start of the general public comments. Speaker slips are located at the table by the entrance door. When your name is called, please begin your comments by stating your name or pseudonym for the record. Speakers will be given 3 minutes to speak, and I'll run the timer and announce when your time is up. Please observe the time limit so all who wish to speak may have the opportunity to do so. And thank you.
Okay, we now have our land acknowledgement. We were going to have it provided by Tribal Chairman Nathan Banda, but I'll go ahead and turn it over to our executive officer.
So, our land acknowledgement. Orange County is within the unceded traditional territory of the Ahachiman and Tonka peoples. The Ahachiman share territory with their relatives and neighbors. Tonka to the north and south, to Newport Beach, as well as the Luiseno to the east and south. These native peoples are still here and remain as nations with international relationships. With this acknowledgement, we pay respect to and honor the original traditional stewards of what is now known as Orange County, the Ahachiman and Tonka, past, present, and future.
Thank you. Consent calendar item next.
So under the consent calendar, we have the approval of the minutes from December 15th, 2025, and January 21st, 2026. Do we have any requests to speak on the minutes at this time?
I do.
Yes.
Is this a call for approval of the minutes?
We'll be voting on the approval of the minutes.
Oh, okay. I wanted to add, if I could, a statement in the minutes that missed the minutes.
Sure.
It was based on Dr. Sanders and his presentation, and then it stated to the effect that since the environmental constraints dealing with pollution runoff in the San Juan watershed are not likely to ever change, there has to be some alternative to the restriction of sand held up in the watershed, such as a program of mitigation fees or development impact fees.
Okay, which meeting?
That's the January meeting under agenda item 7. Coalition member comments and report.
Chair, I'd like to abstain from the minutes of January 21st.
Okay, that's fine. You don't have to abstain from minutes when you're absent because you're not actually voting on the content of the minutes, just the fact that the minutes were taken. This is a common misperception by people. Okay, so I'm sorry. So let's get back to Mr. Russell. The January 21st minutes, where did you want that to be referenced? Under section 6B, is that where you want?
It is in the minutes under agenda item 7.
Quotes, remember, comments, and report, or as part of the VCI?
Okay. Well, it could be there. That's probably a better place for it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. The minutes are in the tab behind, in your binder.
It's okay. You have what he wants to include in the minutes. Okay, is there a motion to approve the minutes? They're not.
Motion to approve consent calendar.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
And let the record reflect that Chairman Banda has arrived and is at present. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Was that Andy that made the motion?
Yes. Sorry. Motion carries unanimously. Okay, now we're into the discussion items. And just, you know, I know we've been meeting for a while now, and it's been a little less formal, but now that we're officially a county body, we have to be a little more formal. So, yeah. Bear with us. we still want to have a good discussion. So discussion items at this time.
So yes, our first discussion item, item 5, is presented by Jazz Matthews. He's our Senior Environmental Resources Specialist with Orange County Public Works, and he's here to tell us a little bit more about the Orange County Sediment Compatibility and Opportunistic Use Program, i.e. the SCOOP. So thank you for joining us, Giles, on
You're welcome. You're welcome. Good afternoon, everybody. As McConnell said, my name is Giles Matthews. I'm the Regulatory Permitting Manager at Orange County Public Works, and I've been working on developing the OC SCOOP now for a few years, trying to get this up and running. So I'm just here today to give you a little bit of background and where we are in the process. So I just wanted to give a very brief issue, background of what's the problem. All of you, I'm sure, know what the main issues are in the room, but obviously our coasts have been suffering from erosion, predominantly as a result of channelization within our inland, both within OC and inland into the Inland Empire, through constructing dams, holding sediment back, urbanisation that locks sediment, natural sediment into the surrounding area, preventing runoff of natural sediment material going to the beaches, and then development on the coast itself, and causing back beaches to be stabilised, so reducing a reduction in sediment overall. And you can tell by the 1890s map through to today's maps that we've gone from an area that's almost entirely undeveloped to an area that is largely developed. So not enough sediment making it to the coast, so sediment are trapped in our basins, in our dams, in our flood channels. That's resulting in disappearing beaches. So what is a SCOOP? A SCOOP creates a framework for regulatory permits to place beach quality sand on our beaches, providing pre-authorised protocols, safety and other environmental appearances. And it was originally conceived in 1993 by SANDAG, and they recommended a policy and action to promote the use of available sand sources for beach nourishment. And many cities now, and some counties, have developed those. But so how does our OC SCOOP differ?
I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt. I just want to point out, when was it originally suggested?
So the SANDAG in 1993, that's not our...
Okay.
Yeah, so that's not the county's
understand.
Yeah, so getting on to when it was originally, I've never heard of a scoop at this point, but so the picture in the back is San Diego Creek, 2019. We excavated 200,000 cubic yards of sand from the section between the lower and I-405 and the upper I-405. And talking to my then director and questioning why the sand wasn't getting used for beneficial purposes, and his response was there was no purpose in place to put sand on the beach. So it's been a relatively slow mover, but moving on from there, we've been working on getting those permits in place so we can so with the concept of taking sand not only from our own facility, so we do have like these occasional large sediment removal operations like the San Diego Creek one. We also have lots of annual small ones where we might remove 5,000 or 10,000 cubic yards from our basins or our channels. And then occasionally, if there's been a big storm event from Santa Ana River, we might have 70,000 or more. But generally speaking, you know, this is the reason we're involved is we do, our facilities do accumulate sand, but this is for anybody, any sand that's available in the county or outside, as long as it's permitted, could potentially be used for the scoop. So there was a disconnect between Public Works and the people who want the sand on the beaches. So we don't own, as a Public Works, the county owns a few beaches, but as Public Works, we don't own any beaches. So you know, we weren't focusing on that beach and sand delivery to beaches at the time. So we've been working with Makana and her team on and state parks on getting sand to beaches where we can over the last few years, mainly through emergency permitting. So the aim of the scoop is to plug that gap of we have permits to take sand out and making sure that there's no permits in place to put sand on the beaches when it becomes available. So it removes that major hurdle, which can take several years to get permits. And when we get our scoop in place, we'll be the first. It will be the first scoop that covers pretty much an entire county. That covers most of the county coastline and involves multiple stakeholders. So LA County has a scoop, but it's only for its own county beaches. Cities have their various scoops generally for their county beaches. So this will be a set permit for everybody to make use of. So it's not our permit, we're getting it in place, but everybody will be able to use it.
That's great. We're going to hold the questions until we get set, and then we'll
take questions. So the first thing we did is get the implementation guidelines in place. So rough outline of those, they define the purpose and need, they identify sand placement design options, identify potential receiver sites, so the beaches along the coastline, identify for each beach the indicative maximum placement per year and maximum placement per event. We identify some source sites, but there's a whole load of others. They could be from anywhere, as I said, from inside or outside the county. We identify monitoring requirements, and then the process for identifying and prioritising sites. There's a section on costs and funding as well. And then that's been the basis for developing the CEQA, MND and the permit applications, which are currently in place. We'll talk about in a minute. And it is designed as a living document, so as we learn and develop from this, we can update and learn and make changes as we need to. So the fundamentals of the scoop, previous efforts have struggled to implement projects due to financial and logistic burdens. Our scoop aims to create an agreeable framework that conforms with regulatory requirements and also mitigates previous burdens in a way that ultimately becomes a new standard. So some major changes, the big one is it's for every beach city that wanted to use them, every OC, parks, state parks, so it covers everybody, and mainly the only city that didn't really sign up that has features that would have benefited was Laguna because of lack of access. provide sensible monitoring, so each we identify what the constraints are for each big site and what that monitoring should be, and we'll go into that in a little more detail. So less stringent set of criteria for sand grain size, and then it's a more efficient approval process that lays out the requirements for individual placement. So which beaches are covered? This is a map of the county, but so most beaches, there may be some restrictions in the marine protected areas. We're currently discussing that with the regulators. So the SCOOP guidelines provide details for the facilities and resources, where the high, medium and low need is. Some beaches like Huntington State Beach are accumulating sand, where there's a huge deficit. So.
What does the legend stand for? I'm sorry, you can't see that far.
It's high, medium and low. So green is where there's a low need, yellow, medium, and green, high.
Red.
Yes, thank you. So we identify the various needs, and then, as I said, maximum fill, and then the range of design profiles, which we'll talk about, and then it also talks about transportation options, and then monitoring requirements for wildlife, but also for surf resource and other things. So these are just the beaches close up, where each city is from, all the way from Seal Beach in the north, all the way down to San Clemente in the south. So we have came up with some sand placement options. So where a house, how to place the sand depends on the need. So for example, beach berms have to build the beach out and then just push it into the tidal zone. And then other options like regularly occurs at Seal Beach, the city puts in a dike to cope with winter storm surges and things. And then level that out afterwards. And then also placing sand below the mean high tide, so this is where we can push sand out, which is what we routinely do in Newport Beach. So each time we do maintenance in our sand trunk of river, we'll widen the beach back out at the river jetties on Newport Beach to where it's getting very close to the houses. And then also there's the option of back beach dunes, so creating habitat and sea level rise protection through dune creation. We're currently working with state parks down at the Least Term Reserve to create some dunes down there. And then the other option is to place sand at the toe of eroding cliffs and bluffs to provide protection there from coastal erosion. So just looking at some of the biological and physical monitoring requirements, there's a whole range of things that live in and around our beaches, from drumming small fish that spawn on our beaches and during full moon, leaster nesting, one particular area in North County, snowy plover increasing across the county, and then a series of habitats, rocky reef, offshore, surf grass, eelgrass and kelp. And then some physical monitoring with turbidities, making sure we don't damage surf conditions and making sure beach profiles stay acceptable. And so we've broken this down by the amount of sand, so less than 25,000 cubic yards, 25,000 to 75,000, and then over 75,000, and that can have a difference on how much monitoring we need to do for each beach, and then it's then down to seasonality. So some that Grunion are only here for the Grunion season from spring through to the end of summer. Snowy plover, some places they're here in the winter, some places they nest in the summer. So and then leastern, spring, summer. So this just breaks down when we need to do monitoring and in a simplified way.
Can I pause you there for a second?
Yep.
So can you explain to us how you came up with the volume column and what was the volume for each of the different beaches?
So this isn't the volume necessary for each of them. This is just with the triggers that will kick in when monitoring is needed.
I see. Okay.
I'll give an example of what volumes might be. So that's not an indication necessarily of total volumes of that. And then just another one on the, this is specifically on the granular leaf kern and snowy plover monitoring that may be required by month and year, so by each beach. You can see some beaches need granular monitoring, and then some beaches need snowy plover, so that P is plover, G is granular, T, and T is leaf kern. So this is a typical example of, each beach has this essential setup within the guidelines. So you'll see at the bottom, so a typical event on there would be no more than 100,000 cubic yards, maximum of 300,000 cubic yards per year, and it's approximate. So when we do our own ocean outlets, it's approximate figure, so we can, you know, go over or under by a certain amount within the permits as well. It's not an exact, you get to 300 and you're done. And also, so that within there, it also talks about whether there's a whether it's in a marine protected area, what sensitive species there may be, whether there's any sensitive nearshore habitats we need to consider, any recreational surfing interests, and whether the last column there, coarse sediment. So some beaches just have sand, some have cobble. So if there's coarse beaches, it gives us a bit more flexibility on the quality of the sand that we might be able to put on the beach. So what the scoop is not, the scoop doesn't require obviously public works to put sand on our beaches. We've committed to getting the permits to allow sand to be put on the beaches, but that's not part of our remit, and it's not something we have the funds, or legally as our mind stands, have the funds to go and do that work.
Unless we vote to direct you to do it.
So, and the scoop doesn't make OC Public Works financially responsible for delivering or placing that sand on the beach either. And the scoop wouldn't place the full regulatory burden on the county. So we are, the permits that we're getting are regional general permits from the Army Corps, which can be used by anybody. So that's specifically, we needed a regional general permit, so anybody could make use of those permits. And then the water board permit follows the regional general permit from the Army Corps. And then the Coastal Commission, each entity has its own coastal permit, or will have. So the scoop will secure permits for sand on our beaches and create a standardised mechanism to allow the county, the city and the state to place sand on their beaches, and it puts a series of minimisation and mitigation measures in to follow to protect the environmental and the human resources and interests that we've got down there. So just on source sites, this is a question that always comes up. The scoop doesn't secure permits to remove sediment from those source sites. So sediment that's coming out of a channel or a basin needs to have its own set of permits. So all of our channels have permits associated with them, but if anyone else is doing any work outside of our facilities that have a sand source, that needs to be fully permitted on its own. We won't be able to use our scoop permits if that source site hasn't already had its own set of permits. Hopefully some of those aren't necessarily in jurisdictional waters anyway, so we might be able to use maybe less permitting needs. And as I've said previously, it could be source sites can be in the county, but they can be outside. There's lots of talk of Prado that could be from elsewhere. So where are we? We've completed the guidelines. We are the CEQA document is in final review, and the current anticipated public review period will be starting mid-March. All of the permits are in, with the Army Corps, Water Board, Coastal Commission and State Lands Commissions are all in review. Our goal is to have CEQA finalised in spring and then secure more permits by the fall of this year, and with an aim to start using the scoop as early as late fall this year or early next year. And then just a little bit on potential source sites. So this is a kind of a scatter map really. These are a lot of our facilities that we have historically or recently taken sediment out of. Now, that isn't necessarily sand, Some of them have got a lot of sand in, but bear in mind, like the bluffs and protection, something that is less than pure sand may be suitable for stabilising the bluffs. And then there's other options of replacing sand that has a little bit of silt in it in the swash zone, and that's able to clean itself relatively quickly. So the sand has to be part of the guidelines. It does talk about making sure the sand is compatible for the site. So there's a whole load of testing, depending on where we go with it. So that's just an example of where we may be able to get some sediment from within the county. There are lots of other options as well. One we've used recently is the sand from the river, the concrete section in Fountain Valley. Last year, not very much rain, so no sediment coming out. The previous 2 years, there were 70,000 cubic yards per year came out of that. That we were able to use that through permitting through the OC Parks and San Clemente got to put sand on Capo and Tahini beaches at San Clemente, where the various resources came and picked the sand up. We screened it and helped them load it into their trucks, and then they took it away. So that's typically very good quality sand. Other options, we have a series of sediment basins. They are variable sand quality. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not so good, but may be used for, as I said, for back beaches and replacing the swash zones. And then in terms of identifying and prioritising, the guidelines list ways that we can prioritise. It doesn't actually go into detail of prioritising specifically, but there are, so prioritisation is based on need, proximity to its source, is it in the littoral cell, or that would naturally flow into a particular a beach site, is it resource for unserved communities, is it close to the source or the stockpile that doesn't necessarily mean it's in the littoral cell, is it a sand engine? So if we put it in a north beach in San Clemente, does it work its way down? And probably most importantly, is there an ability to fund that transport? It's not cheap to move sand from one part of the county or outside of the county into the county. And then just last page, so receiver sites, they've got to arrange for their own funding to get that site down there. We've covered the cost of getting the permits and the CEQA document, but if whoever needs sand on the beaches, they will be the ones who need to provide that funding to do that going forward. There may be grant funding options available, and just in terms of timing, without the scoop, we're talking probably at least a year, and if you're lucky, often a lot more, unless you're talking an emergency situation, and then with the scoop, when sand becomes available, there's a testing to make sure it's the right grain of sand and the right chemical constituents within the sand. But we can be talking as little as 1 to 2 months from identifying the sand source to placing it on the beaches that are needed. And right there.
Yes.
We've set up a bi-weekly meeting with the Water Board to make sure it keeps moving forward. The Army Corps, we are out to, the public consultation period is out, it's about to finish, it may have already finished, so we've received comments back from the US Fish and Wildlife Service, which was going to be our biggest potential constraint. It's 2 pages, which is compared to 150 pages for our ocean outlet. So, looking pretty good so far. The Coastal Commission are reviewing right now, so they're probably one of our biggest constraints, and then the similar situation with the State Lands Commission. It's in review. They are charging us for their review, so I'm assuming they're doing things because I get an invoice every month. The State Lands Commission, on previous experience, have taken longer than some of the others, but they're very helpful. They're just taking a long time to.
Well, it's a real helpful schedule.
Quarter
for us.
Bear in mind, some of those permit applications went in last year, so I haven't just submitted those. So we should be midway through that process, their permitting review and things. So it's not that I just submitted the permits last week.
No, that's great though. Mr. Hall?
I was just wondering, what did you apply for the maximum annual cubic yards?
It depends per beach. So sometimes it's on the smaller beaches it might be 100,000, on bigger beaches it may be 300,000 or more.
So do you have, for example, for San Clemente beaches, I'm sure that's what you're concerned about, what was the max that you applied for?
And then while you're looking at maybe more complicated question, as you know, we have a scoop permit in San Clemente. Do you know what that amount can be stacked, or is the Coastal Commission going to subtract what they've already given us to us?
So it would be. So my understanding is it wouldn't be stacked. It would be
it
whichever
would, or would not?
Wouldn't.
Oh, okay.
So at the moment, for San Clemente North Beach, 150,000. San Clemente Central Beaches, 300,000. San Clemente State Beach, 300, and Cypress Shores, 300.
It's the maximum.
Yeah. So in a given year, you could do across the San Clemente beaches over a million.
Okay. Yeah, the one we have is 300,000, so that's good. So even if it can be stacked, this would be a great benefit.
Yeah.
I just want to pass on thank you for doing that.
Yeah, so that means you get 700,000 more.
Yeah, we're talking the money, right?
You've just got to find some.
Find the sand and find the money.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Chairman, do you have anything? No. Okay. Anything you
want to
tell us?
Oh, I'm happy to report details. I just want to say thank you, Joe. We've been a good partner with Public Works. We really appreciate that you've worked so far to get sand from your facilities to our facilities. I'm looking for a scoop, so thank you.
Anything, Ms. Ella? Sure. I'm going to take off my executive officer hat for a second. As a parks representative, we have a sand compatibility and use guideline in place right now that requires to do a still fair amount of reporting to place sand. What does the reporting look like once we have this done in place? Is it going to be more? Is it going to be less?
The aim is that it's going to be less. Uh-huh. And the aim has been to kind of try and simplify the amount of work we need to do. And as long as we follow the guidelines of the scoop, it won't necessarily be a mitigation measure within the CEQA document, but so certainly that's the aim.
And then you mentioned also that in the past, Public Works has screened. Is that a service that Public Works will continue to offer for their own source sites?
Yeah. So.
Just wondering.
Yes.
You stop right there.
Yes, yes, we can assist. We're here to assist. It comes down to funding agreements and cooperative agreements. So Public Works is always willing to help. We partner with you guys. We'll accept that to anyone. It just requires cooperative agreements and board approval.
We
gotcha.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay,
I have just two questions. So on your slides, you showed Prado Dam as a maximum of 30,000 per year and 125,000 over 5 years. But given our workshop that we had recently, where we heard from the water district that number is much higher, is that the number you have in your permitting, or is that just an example?
So probably confusing, but it's indicative, and so it'll go back to the receiver sites aren't permitted through this. So,
okay.
So it shows some indicative sites, so suggested sites that we may be able to get sediment from. It's not. It doesn't mean we will. It doesn't mean it's permitted in this. So if the Water District or the Army Corps are permitted to remove as much as they like, then it's covered in here.
The source sites are not permitted.
Correct.
They can allow you to take it.
Yeah.
Right.
So figure it out.
My request would be that, because what I tried to achieve at the workshop was to get the Water District to share the, like, it's a higher volume of sand that we can take from Prado Dam than what we keep talking about. So if we keep saying 30,000, then people just keep thinking it's only 30,000, when really it's 100,000, you know, or maybe even 250, depending on where in Prado Dam you go behind the dam and more. So if we could not have that 30,000.
Yeah, so a point of clarification on that,
because
it is confusing. The source sites, for the purposes of the CEQA document, we had to include source sites so that we can consider the environmental impacts of truck trips.
Yeah.
So that's why there's kind of a scatter plot of sites, and then an assumed value from a given site for the truck trips purposes. But yeah, last week when we spoke to the Army Corps, they said, come get as much sand as you want.
That's right.
Get your permits.
That's
you
right.
can have all of it.
In case you all didn't know that, that's what they told us. Which is major progress, right?
Wow.
Okay, so for the cities, and we know San Clemente is very much engaged in this, but so for cities like, let's say Newport or Sunset Beach, Seal Beach, those cities will be able to also access the scoop, and they won't have to go get their own permits. We already have the permit for them, right?
Correct, and it will also include certain beaches in within Newport Bay as well, as so both parks, beaches, and
our beach here, Baby Beach, would be included. In
yes,
that, right?
Okay. Yeah, and as well as Huntington Harbour is also included in there. We've actually just added there was, I forget the name of the church now, but there's a church down that's got a beach in Huntington Harbour. So we've already added an extra one that wasn't in the original one.
So. And then Doheny, the state beach also. So this permit works for the state as well?
Yeah, so it's literally state, county, and all cities.
Okay.
Well, all cities except.
And then the special districts, what about special districts? Are they included?
I looked at the map that showed all the beaches that are included.
Thank you.
So, I believe so that I don't think we included.
What
are those in that? I don't think we included areas that were considered private, but.
So maybe we should consider doing that, because we're, I don't know, it seems like we want to be able to help the whole coast. So I don't know what the pros and cons of that are.
Yeah, and as I said, this is a living document, so there's no reason we can't add.
Okay.
To, I mean, some of the issues is logistics of getting onto those areas as well.
Well, I think some of those groups that are represented are here. I'll open this up for any public comment or questions. We'll start with Tim. Remind me, Eric.
Yeah. Andy actually asked my question, but to that point, Capistrano Shores also looks like it may be excluded. If there's any opportunity to have that included as well, that would be fantastic.
Okay. Yes.
First, fantastic, very exciting. You guys are so far along with this. Thank you so much. I had a couple questions. The first is this document in its current form publicly available? Is there a reference where we could go online and see it?
It is. And it's about to go public for the, because this is the basis of the CEQA, which is about to go public for the year end. that will, it will be part of it, or the appendix to the secret document. Yes, we'll, if it's not already publicly available, which I believe it is, it will be imminently.
And then I'll advance what were going to be my comments at the end of the meeting, but we also have a landing page now for this coalition, and we will be including all of these kinds of documents, everything related to SAND, all of the contract documents, the CEQA documents, any planning documents will be on that page. We'll send that out as well.
And my other question was, you described how this scoop is designed to be applicable or useful by the different cities and communities. Is it limited to governmental agencies like cities? Could the OCPA apply for and use the scoop to restore sand to the beaches where it's been depleted?
So we actually had that very discussion with yesterday at the meeting and with OCTA and with my consultant this afternoon about potentially adding OCTA specifically for getting the where the bluffs have collapsed in San Clemente, getting that sediment moved onto the state beach as a and so when I asked that question of my consultant, she was of the opinion that the scoop will give that approval because it's the beach owner with state parks in that location. So there we could add OCTA. Whether we need to is another matter because they don't own any of the beaches. So it's
the city would become the owner.
Yeah, the right of way. They do own some beach 50 feet out. So there is some sand that they own.
No. I don't think that. I think technically the beach itself is owned by the jurisdiction. The city, it's not an easement, but there's like a buffer requirement, but it's they don't own the land underneath that. Yeah. Right? Is that right?
That's my understanding. Yes, that's correct.
Thank you. Right, where did she go?
So we are the owner of the right-of-way, but not any beach that falls under the purview of the city, or whatever beach owner there
is.
So with the Army Corps permits, anybody could use those anyway, and as long as we've got all the beach coverage there, the coastal development permit, we would need to add OCTA as a separate, because each city, county, and state entity has got its own coastal development permit application. So we'd need to add those for those other areas we're talking about adding. And then we need to add OCTA if they were interested in.
I think that would be good because that would, however we can expedite this permitting process, we should do because the permitting just takes so long. And we saw this last year, but for the permitting delays, we could have had sand from Prado Dam. So if we could maybe figure out how to add OCTA just to close one more delay obstacle?
Well, the mechanism would just be OCTA needs to get into an agreement with whoever the beach owner is, and then OCTA can place the sand under the permit.
Yeah, I think we're already, the placement to OCTA isn't necessarily an issue. It's probably more complicated for the likes of Capistrano Shores and stuff that would need a separate CDP. Because the way we've applied to the Coastal Commission is each entity's got its own CDP application. We put in on their behalf for their sign.
So we can take that specific situation as an action item.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else?
Yes. Hi. I was wanting to follow Eric Capistrano Shores. If you could also consider the inclusion of Shore Cliffs, which is a private beach. So we are in between the counties, State Beach Poche and Capistrano Shores, with major erosion problem.
Sure, that'd be a similar
situation. Yeah, we'll look at all of the gaps where there's.
Thank you.
And then at the end of the last private beach in San Clemente is Cypress Shores, and I think they would also like to be a part of this.
And I think, ironically, that Cypress Shores is actually in.
I think it is in. Yeah.
Cypress Shores is in for whatever reason. Yeah.
Yes. I'm just wondering how this framework would play in federal land, because Santa Barbara State Beach falls under NEPA and is largely regulated by the Department of Navy. So I was just wondering the same determining coverage.
So San Onofre is beyond the county line, so it is San Diego County. So we haven't included San Onofre in the OC scoop it was for the county.
Can I ask you a question? Just one second. Is there a way to partner with, so that's not San Diego County, it's federal land right there?
It's federal land within San Diego County, I believe, but it's a part of the State Parks Orange Coast District.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of is a blurry area.
Yeah, maybe we should look into that. I know county staff are like, we don't want to add more responsibility.
Sounds like a great loss for San Diego.
Yeah. I think San Diego is looking at that as part of the RDSP3.
Okay. Yes? My question was going to be if Sano is included in Sandas, and it sounds like maybe not yet.
Well, no, she just said that it is. Yeah.
I believe it is already.
Yeah. We can confirm, but I'm pretty sure. Yeah. So if you could confirm that and then maybe provide us an update at the next meeting.
Yeah,
that'd be great. Okay, anyone else have any other questions?
Yes.
One more.
I'm going to just say your name.
Yeah,
Alex Fairman, I'm a surf rider. I would assume that sediment's only sand. Is there cobble use in that program as well?
Yeah.
What was that?
Cobble. Anybody else?
Yes.
One last question for me. After the scoop is granted, I'm just wondering if you can guide me in terms of process. If a city then elects to try and use the scoop, I understand they have to find a source of sand. We assume they find a source. Would there be any other permitting requirements to be able to proceed to use the sand? I mean, there are agencies that aren't covered by the scoop, or supposed to be the...
So to place the sand on the beach directly, as long as you've got all your, the entity in the city is covered for the Army Corps permit, the Water Board permit, coastal development permit, and the state lands lease authority. If there are any permits required to transport, so if you need a permit to truck through your city or anything, that's not my area of expertise, so I don't know what is required, but I know our O&M guys need to get permits for moving trucks
all routes.
Yeah, so that certainly is not included in this. But so yes, you may need something for that. And my expertise is in regulatory permitting related to coast and.
But this will be all the environmental permits are granted.
Yes, and the CEQA is covered and everything. So it covers all your transportation.
Replacement.
Yeah.
So everything would be permitted in order to place. But anything related to permitting to go harvest it, to transport it, any of that stuff, each individual would have to complete it.
Thank you.
Monitoring it.
And that would need to be, there's monitoring protocol.
And then the entity that's doing the placement has to follow the guidelines within the permit. So all the monitoring, yeah, all that stuff, that's the responsibility.
And any reporting that... We've obviously applied for permits, and at this point, the Army Corps is trying to make it as simple for us as possible. But there will be some reporting requirements on how it's replaced, impacts to sensitive species and habitats and things that we'll have to do. So the cost for that would be on whichever entity it is, basically.
All right. Any other questions on this topic? Thank you so much. This is really great. One of the priorities that we've had in our office in partnership with the county department is to try to create these permitting systems where the county has the permit, but all the cities can jump on so that it doesn't cost so much in terms of financial cost and time for permitting, whether it's the SCOOP or the Climate Action Plan. These are all CEQA certified documents by the time it all gets said and done, that then each of the cities don't have to pay for another CEQA analysis to implement their projects. So really great work. Thank you. Okay, we got to receive and file. So at this time, it's time for public participation, and not that we haven't already had that, but if there's anything else that anyone wants to share that's not on our agenda for tonight, I'll entertain comments at this time. Just raise your hand, state your name for the record, and then we'll come. Anybody have anything else you want to add tonight? Anything that you think we should add to our agenda for our next meeting? Okay, so no one. Executive officer comments?
Sure. So I had a few spoiler alerts along the way, but I just wanted to remind everyone here present today that the Board of Supervisors adopted the MOU and bylaws on February 10th. So we are an official Brown Act body. Congratulations. And we have the webpage live now. So the agendas are made live. Our past presentations are now live. We still need to make a few more updates, like the State of the Coast and some of these resources that Chair Foley was mentioning will be making available soon as well. So stay tuned there, but more resources available for everyone here.
The landing page, if you go to District 5 to the website, some of you might know we have a Dana Point Harbor landing page. Well, this will be another tab in that same area.
Yeah, and it was linked in the agenda that was sent out, so if you didn't get the agenda email, we can send you a link as well, so just let me know.
And please give us your feedback. We want to know what else we can add. We're going to keep growing this page so that hopefully it'll be built out similar to the Dana Point Harbor oversight page, which has all of the documents that are relevant to the work that we're doing here all in one place. So you don't have to go to five different places to find information.
Thank you. And then lastly, State of the Coast, we're still working on updates. I got some additional comments from Public Works that I need to keep incorporating. And then we're reaching out to some of the other cities that are outside of the Southern County area to make sure we get their full input along the way. And that concludes my comments.
All right, thank you. And then, do any of my colleagues have anything you want to add, questions, comments?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, our State of the Beach, or as Nathan calls it, our SOB, will be on March 3rd at our next meeting. So if anybody wants to attend, we'll have an update on what's happening on the beaches
and
so forth.
And that's at the City Council meeting?
Correct.
Okay,
good. Part of the City Council.
Anything from you?
We're having our travel summit this Saturday in San Juan Capistrano. So anybody wanting to take 10, you can visit our website and sign up to be guests.
Oh, that's great. Is that the one I went to last year?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where is that?
San Juan Community Center.
Okay. That's
one. One quick thing for you is, you are all aware of OC Parks, Bohemian Capistrano Beach Incubator Program, our project there. We have historically been awarded a BRIC grant. It's in limbo. We're applying for HMGP, which FEMA is the Hazard Mitigation Program. Good news just came this week, actually, which is Cal OES did the checks and balances and reviews, and we're good to go. It's going on to the feds now. So keep your fingers crossed that we'll get hopefully like $14 million for this.
This is a big deal. Very important. Okay, so I'll just say we had a really excellent workshop with UCI and with Orange Coast Water District. This workshop was taped, and so you can, it'll be added to our page on the website. And it is, I think, an excellent educational tool for anybody wanting to have a foundational understanding of all things related to the sand and sediment movement along our coast here in Orange County, and Prado Dam, and how Prado Dam is a resource for us. We also had at that meeting a at the request of Orange County Water District, and I forget the guy's name, but a guy who is a logistics about moving sand by rail, and he has a lot of great experience in making that happen in places where it's very difficult for that to happen. So he gave, I think, some valuable presentation that you can watch if you haven't seen it already. Thank you, Congressman Levin's office was there, and thank you for following up on our Army Corps permitting issues. And we now have some, I think, progress being made with regard to the Army Corps maybe being a little bit more expediting in the permitting. Thank you to Senator Strickland's office for also being present. Nice to see you there, Max. I know I saw you at the end, so thanks for being there. And then I think we'll continue to have this work done. We took a field trip to Prado Dam. I should have brought my sand, Abby.
And I thought that's
so sorry. I have a jar of sand. It's really nice sand. So we really learned a lot from that field trip about all the possibilities, and the student grant that we gave to UCI is, I think, helpful in terms of getting us some ideas about how to bring it from the rail, but also it started allowing us to have a conversation about even like a pipeline that can push the sand during the stormy times down to the beaches, that then can be moved from the beaches instead of being moved from Prado Dam. And then we also had, I think, some good dialogue about how do we, you know, work on the San Juan Creek issue. So a lot of good conversations happening. And in our next meeting, Dr. Sanders and his team, the students, will give a presentation about their work that they've done and you know, some ideas they have. So that's all I have. I would invite you all to nominate a woman for our Women Making a Difference for a Sustainable Future awards in March for Women's History Month. And I know all of you know a woman that is making a difference in terms of sustainability, especially as it relates to our coast. So get those nominations in because we want to recognize them. And that concludes the meeting for the South Orange County Beach Coalition. The next regularly scheduled meeting will be held on Wednesday, March 18th at 4 p.m. right here at the OC Sailing Event Center Pilot House. And then we decided that unless the committee here wants to do something different, that our April meeting will be our last meeting of the month-to-month meetings, because we have, I think, a lot of education that has been established, and then we'll go to quarterly, unless there's an objection. With that, meeting is adjourned.